Welcome to this edition of Faith to Live By. I'm Pam Christian, the researcher, writer, producer, and host of this weekly podcast, where each week I seek to help us explore current events from a biblical and prophetic perspective, so we, as God's children, can know how He wants us to respond. I hope you heard last week's program, because I took us through biblical instruction to help us know when signs and prophecies are of God. I provided insight about upcoming calendar and heavenly events and what God seems to be telling us through them. With this week's podcast, I'll continue to provide information and insight about upcoming events. I'll provide my take on events we're already experiencing, and I'll share how God wants us to partner with Him in these upcoming days. I start today by reiterating how the 2017 total solar eclipse that traveled from the northwest of the United States to the southeast went through seven cities named Salem. I also want to reiterate the upcoming 2024 total eclipse that will travel from the southwest United States up to the northeast United States, going through seven cities named Nineveh. The paths of the two total solar eclipses, separated by 7 years, will intersect and form an X in the area of Illinois known as Little Egypt. Now, please keep that in mind. While some are claiming this is a sign that God is passing judgment on the United States, I see it as a sign that God is delivering His people who are not complicit with the evil and corruption that has been perpetuated through the United States government. And at the same time, God will be passing judgment on those who refuse to repent. This is consistent with the prophecies, the many prophecies that God has been giving about His imminent intervention in world affairs. Additionally, in recent years, there's been a lot of reference back to God's miraculous intervention on behalf of His people when He freed them from the bondage of Egypt under the tyranny of the Egyptian Pharaoh. In a recent interview with Steve Schultz, Johnny Inlow actually made reference to Israel being in bondage for 40 years under Pharaoh of Egypt and the United States being under bondage for 400 years with the Luciferian elites being in government and controlling our banking systems and more. Also, especially through Julie Green, God has said He is about to intervene to deliver His people in a way that is even greater than what He did, as we read in the book of Exodus. So God Himself has expressed He is about to pass judgment against evil with reference to what He did in the story of the great Exodus. Recall, God's people who lived in Goshen did not suffer the plagues of judgment against the Egyptians. And when the last plague came, those who were obedient and placed a cross or an X from the blood of the lamb that was slaughtered and eaten that night on the doorposts of their homes did not suffer the loss of their firstborn. The death angel passed over their homes. This was the very first event known as Passover God's people experienced. Passover was instituted by God as evidence of His faithful protection and deliverance of His people. Passover is to be commemorated each year forever, according to Numbers chapter 9, verses 2 to 14. Passover this year will begin the evening of April 22nd and continue to after the nightfall of the evening of April 30th. In the Hebrew alphabet, Tav is the last letter, and it looks like our capital letter X, which the paths of the 2017 and 2024 total eclipse will create in the area of Illinois known as Little Egypt. Some say the exact location is the city called Makanda, which used to be called Star of Egypt. Others say the exact location is Carbondale, yet all say the region known as Little Egypt is an area that is known for high-level occult activity and more. Another fascinating point I learned in preparing for today's podcast is the duration of the 10 plagues God brought against Pharaoh probably took place over 40 days. Again, noting 40 is the time of testing, trials, and judgment. Please keep this in mind as I repeat some I shared with you last week about events on God's calendar for us in these present days. Now, in addition to the total solar eclipse of 2017 that went from Oregon to South Carolina, and the 2024 eclipse that will travel from Mexico through Texas to Maine, there was an annular solar eclipse, October 14, 2023, that went from Oregon down to Texas. By viewing the paths of these three events over the United States, we see the Hebrew letter Aleph is formed. Aleph is the first letter in the Paleo-Hebrew alphabet. Just as Hebrew gematria provides meaning and significance through numbers that we explored last week, so does the Hebrew alphabet provide pictures and communicate meaning. The letter Aleph looks like our capital letter A, but it's on its side or on a diagonal. So picture the dial of a clock with the capital letter A on the face of the clock. The top of the letter A points to the number 10, and the two openings at the bottom of the letter point to 6 and 4, and the line that goes through the center of the letter goes from 7 to 2. If you want, you can see a picture of this using the link in the show notes. Now, the letter Aleph represents the infinite oneness of God. The letter can be seen as being composed of an upper yud and a lower yud, and a vav leaning on a diagonal. The upper yud represents the hidden and ineffable aspects of God, while the lower yud represents God's revelation and presence in the world. Aleph also means the origin of the universe and the leader or chief. So it sure seems to me that with the display of the solar eclipses of 2017, 2023, and the upcoming eclipse of 2024, God is making his existence, authority, and power known in ways that we cannot deny. Another way of looking at this picture is to understand that the solar eclipse of 2017 and the solar eclipse of 2023 will both be crossed by the solar eclipse of 2024, which creates two tavs, which looks like two letter X's, and altogether the paths create one Aleph. Again, use the link in the show notes to get a visual. We read three times in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, that Jesus calls himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. But Jesus did not speak in Greek. Do you know what he actually said when he was speaking in Hebrew? He said, "I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now, this is so important, so follow with me here. As I shared last week, there are two Greek words we need to understand. Logos, which is the written word of God, which is copied on parchment, and rhema, which is the spoken or living or revealed word of God. In John 1, verses 1 to 5, we read, quote, "In the beginning was the word." Logos is the word that's used here. And this is very important that we understand he refers to himself as the written word of God. And then, through verse 5, we know he was with God, and in fact was God, from the beginning when all things were made through him. Now, when Jesus spoke, he spoke in Hebrew, which was translated into Greek. Additionally, as translated from the Greek text, we read that Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." But remember, Jesus spoke in Hebrew. What Jesus actually said is, "I am the Aleph and the Tav." And what do we see from the patterns of the three solar eclipses? One Aleph that contains two Tavs. Now, I'll just put it out there. Could there be two Tavs? Because with Jesus' first coming, he came as the promised Redeemer to make a way to end sin. And with his second coming, which is his last, he puts a final end to sin. It's at least food for thought. Before God ever administers judgment, he always provides an opportunity for repentance. What if God is first pronouncing who he is so that people will stop and reconsider him and all he said will become of this world? What if God is revealing himself for the purposes of waking more people up concerning his existence and all he has revealed through both his written word, the Logos word, and the spoken word, the Rhema word? Isn't this much more like the revealed character, will, and intentions of God to call all men unto himself because he doesn't want even one to perish? I know many people are claiming these and other signs are ushering in 7 years of famine or the start of the tribulation or that the second coming of Jesus is imminent. Well, I just don't see it that way. I've always maintained that we are not living in the end of the end times, but in a foreshadow or an impression of what those days will be like. So consider my point of view as you continue to form your own. I believe we're living in extraordinary days when God is revealing himself in ways that will usher in the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever known. I believe we still have decades upon decades before the great and terrible events the Bible prophesies concerning the end times. I base this on many considerations, one being the Hebrew calendar. At this time, we're in the Hebrew year of 5784, meaning the number of years since creation. The Hebrew belief has always been that the Messiah must come before the year 6000. If this is accurate, there's still around 215 years left before his return. Additionally, there are many events foretold in the Bible that must take place before the Antichrist is revealed that have not occurred in the present times, which also brings me to conclude that we are not living in the last days, but in a precursor time period before the last days. Could I be wrong? Yes! So the most important matter is for all of us to be ready either way, making certain we are among those God finds repentant and living our lives in ways that allow for unhindered relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's still so much more. In addition to the three solar eclipses of 2017, 2023, and 2024, there are other signs in the skies to ponder. Remember, the stars represent divine guidance, the moon represents Israel and God's protection of Israel, and the sun represents Christ and the Gentile nations. And about the constellations and the signs in the sky, Johnny Inlow provided recent explanation that I appreciated. He explained, "The Bible reveals the heavens declare the glory of God, not Satan's effort to destroy. The clouds, stars, sun, moon, the rainbow, and other signs in the heavenlies are not Satan's messaging system, but God's messaging system, and God's messages are always to provide a way of escape and hope for his people. However, a time of grace to repent is not without an end." Now, regarding other signs in the sky, some are pointing to the three other celestial events to derive understanding of our times. First, let's consider what's called the Devil Comet, otherwise known as Comet 12P/Pons-Brooks, discovered in 1812. It was in 1954, 70 years ago, that this comet reached perihelion, meaning its closest approach to the Earth, which is expected to occur again this year during the April eclipse. Some people are sensationalizing the comet's appearance, but please know, while it is visible in April, it will pass harmlessly by our planet in June this year at about 1.5 times the distance between the Earth and the Sun. The fact this comet was last seen 70 years ago may have significance. What is the meaning of the number 70? Well, it's a derivative of the number 7, and with the power of 10, it symbolizes spiritual order carried out with all power. 70 can also represent a period of judgment. As I've often said, I am expecting an unprecedented time of God's judgment and justice beginning this year. Another celestial wonder is the constellation formation, often referred to as the Revelation 12 sign. It is said to have appeared in the stars on September 23, 2017, the same year as the first solar eclipse that crossed the path of seven U.S. cities named Salem. It is said to have appeared during the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, which is an annual call to repentance. The Feast of Trumpets begins the autumn festivals and suggests the time of repentance is coming with opportunity to prepare our hearts for the Messiah. For this reason, some have claimed the formation means the end is near. For reasons I am about to share, I'm not convinced of that particular interpretation. What is the Revelation 12 sign? Well, the Bible reveals in Revelation 12, verse 1, 2-5, quote, "And a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron." End quote. Some believe this is a reference to the particular alignment of the sun, moon, and planets around the constellation Virgo. It is common for the sun, moon, and Jupiter to be in the right place every 11 to 12 years. So what about the other three planets to make up the 12 for her crown? This configuration is far less common. However, Professor Christopher M. Graney has found no less than four times in the past 1,000 years when all of these alignments took place. It was September 14, 1056, September 5, 1293, September 6, 1483, and September 24, 1827. Contrary to some claims you read on the internet that this alignment only happens once in history or once in 6,000 to 7,000 years, in reality, this alignment seems to show up once every 240 years on average. So yes, the alignment is rare, but it isn't a once-in-a-human-history kind of an event. If you can, look up Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 6 as I share. In the book of Revelation, John reveals two signs in heaven, a woman who gives birth and a dragon intent on destroying her offspring. Twice, John sees the dragon decisively defeated, and both descriptions of the battle's aftermath describe the woman's protection in the wilderness. The woman symbolizes Israel, which in the New Testament times is the church of all believers, Jews and Gentiles. The great red dragon is identified as the devil, Satan. Its seven heads with seven diadems and 10 horns symbolize great power and description of the beast. Verse 4, the dragon's tail sweeping down a third of the stars of heaven is believed by many to be when evil spirits in league with Satan shared his defeat and downfall before the forces of God, as in the original fall of Satan, taking one third of the angels with him. The dragon's intent to devour the child refers back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which predicts that the woman's offspring will bruise the serpent's head as the serpent bruises the child's heel. Verse 5, this male child, the promised Messiah born to rule the nations with an iron rod, is not destroyed by the dragon, but is exalted to God's throne. Verse 6, the woman or the child's mother fled into the wilderness. This depicts a setting where God's people are entirely dependent upon him and his promised protection from the dragon's rage. John's first vision portrays a decisive battle at the turning point of history when Christ's incarnation, obedience, sacrifice, and exaltation forever disqualified Satan, the accuser of believers. Some think the second vision also represents the same series of events, while others think it portrays events at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So, from all of this, in our effort to interpret the signs of the times, I conclude God's people are still in a time of his protection, according to their faith and obedience to God, and our victory is certain because of what Christ has already accomplished. We know the devil, Satan, will continue to cause all the deception and destruction he can until his final end. But we who live in these days of evil have everything we need to walk in the victory knowing the truth, regardless of how things appear. And as I'll share later, I believe we are being equipped to visibly take authority over the power of the enemy and see his retreat. The third heavenly sign people are talking about, in addition to the upcoming April solar eclipse, was the penumbral lunar eclipse of Sunday night, Monday morning, March 24th to 25th. Which, by the way, was Purim. In general, eclipses are the result of a delicate dance between the moon, the sun, and the earth. Lunar eclipses occur when the planet slides between the sun and the moon, in contrast to a solar eclipse, which is when the moon interjects between the sun and the earth. Lunar and solar eclipses always occur in pairs, 2 weeks apart, the amount of time it takes for the moon to move from one side of the earth to the other. In the most dramatic version of a lunar eclipse, the darkest part of the Earth's shadow washes over the lunar surface, making it shine crimson. The total eclipse is known as a blood moon. Blood moons are fairly common, occurring at least twice a year. However, when 4 blood moons happen in close succession, NASA refers to this as a tetrad. Tetrads are rather rare, only taking place 55 times since 1 AD. An even greater phenomena is when 4 consecutive blood moons coincide with the Jewish feast days. There were 4 total lunar eclipses in 1959 to 1960, 4 total lunar eclipses in 1967 to 1968, and 4 total lunar eclipses in 2014 to 2015. Each time there were 2 on Passover and 2 on the Feast of Trumpets, spring and fall. This has only occurred 10 times since 1 AD, and only 4 times since 1492. The times since 1492 are as follows: the tetrad of 1493 to 1494, the tetrad of 1949 to 1950, the tetrad of 1967 to 1968, and the tetrad of 2014 to 2015. Major events affecting the Jewish people have occurred in close proximity to all four of these tetrads. First, there was the horrific Spanish Inquisition that took place at the time of the 1493 to 1494 tetrad when Jews were expelled from Spain. Then, the nation of Israel was reborn on May 14, 1948, just before the 1949-1950 tetrad. The Israel Six-Day War occurred on June 7, 1967, the year of the tetrad. And in 2014 to 2015, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon died. The Palestinian-Hamas-Israeli conflict escalated. The pattern of the two solar eclipses forming an X over the United States has happened before, even though many people today are saying otherwise. It happened in the 1800s, and remarkably, the intersection of our recent solar eclipses will be about 100 miles from where those of the 19th century crossed paths. The fact that this has happened before and that the patterns of the paths are just about 100 miles apart has me consider the meaning of the number 2. Remember, I shared last week the number 2 means difference, division, or double portion. I take this to mean God is showing us the difference. He is creating division between good and evil, and he is affirming double portion of his promises that he will govern the world, regardless of how things appear. The first solar eclipse occurred on June 16, 1806, with the second completing the X on the September 17, 1811. The intersection happened over the New Madrid Fault area, which includes an area from Cairo in southern Illinois to nearby New Madrid, Montana. Notice Cairo, Illinois, is in the area of the state known as Little Egypt, which is where the paths of the 2017 and 2024 solar eclipses will also cross. News reports of the day indicate on December 16, 1811, just 3 months after the second solar eclipse, a series of devastating earthquakes struck along the New Madrid fault line. The following quote comes from New Madrid, Montana. The New Madrid earthquakes were the biggest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but were felt as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. President James Madison and his wife Dolly felt them in the White House. Church bells rang in Boston. From December 16, 1811 through March 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest and between 6,000 and 10,000 earthquakes in the Boot Heel of Missouri, where New Madrid is located near the junction of the Ohio and the Mississippi rivers. In the known history of the world, no other earthquakes have lasted so long or produced so much evidence of damage as the New Madrid earthquakes. Three of the earthquakes are on the list of America's top earthquakes. The first one, on December 16, 1811, a magnitude of 8.1 on the Richter scale. The second, on January 23, 1812, at 7.8, and the third, on February 7, 1812, at as much as 8.8 magnitude. End quote. Could the upcoming completion of an X across the United States midsection by the April 8, 2024 eclipse point to another catastrophe in the months afterward, not unlike what was reported following the eclipse of 1806? It's not only possible, but based on the many trusted prophets I have followed over the years, which include Johnny Inlow, Tim Sheets, Dutch Sheets, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Kent Christmas, Dr. Patricia Green, Amanda Grace, Donna Rigney, Faith Batsko, and others, not to mention the wisdom and insight from people such as Pastor Dave Scarlett, Derek Johnson, General Michael Flynn, and others, I expect we will see ominous events providing evidence of God's intervention in the affairs of humanity. I shared a great deal with part one on this topic of understanding the signs of the times, and as often has happened, after I study and make a conclusion about a matter, I find another article from a trusted prophet who has come to the same conclusion. On March 30th, I read Faith Batsko's blog with the title quoting what she heard God say, which was, quote, "I will eclipse, you will pass over," end quote. I highly recommend you read it, so I've put a link in the show notes. Faith reiterated, "The sun, moon, and stars were given by God to serve as a calendar marking our times and special feast days ordained by God for his purposes. He instructed each new moon would be the marker to begin a biblical month. The feasts of God represent God's calendar of events, providing notable milestones of his unfolding plan. Passover initiated God's work to corporately call his people out of bondage, first from the enslavement of Pharaoh of Egypt, which represented the bondage of sin, and was observed by eating a sacrificial lamb as a picture of the born-again experience to be gained from partaking of the ultimate sacrificial lamb, Jesus. From Passover, God's plan moves forward to Pentecost. But let's remember, Passover is the Greek word given to identify the feast day, which in Hebrew is known as Shavuot. Just as the Passover was opened up to Gentiles with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so is Shavuot opened up to Gentiles on the day recorded in Acts when the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles who were among the 120 obediently awaiting the power from on high as Jesus instructed. Obedience is key. It always has been and always will be. Pentecost is passing over from one level of glory, that of Passover, to another level of Christ's glory and power. Obedience to lay hold of the greater glory and power is needed to fight the battles and gathering in a great harvest of souls. The battle intensified for the early disciples on that first day of Pentecost, and so we should expect the battles of our day to become greatly intensified. Now, to quote Faith, "The feasts of God are heightened times in the Spirit when heaven draws close and portals are open to earth to keep the momentum of his plan on his trajectory. They are very much related to time and to the great journey mapped out by God. They are designed by him to keep us moving without straying from the path ahead. God's feasts are times of standing in his presence, passing before him through Holy Spirit checkpoints where he assesses, evaluates, and releases us to continue moving on to the greater levels of glory." End quote. As I and many others have been saying, Faith also writes about the tremendous significance of the year 2024, which on the Hebrew calendar is the year 5784. From the Hebrew perspective, the decade of the 80s is Pei, or representative of our mouth, our voice. I've shared since 2020, which was 5780, the first year of the decade of the 80s, that God was abruptly instructing his people to understand and learn to use the power of our spoken words as Christians. It was no surprise to me that the self-appointed elite worked hard to muzzle our mouths, not only visibly with masks, but also by order that churches should be closed, even instructing that we should not worship in song or preach the Bible. Now, here we are 4 years later, and the number 4 in Gematria derives its meaning from creation. On the fourth day, God completed the material universe. On this day, he brought into existence the sun, moon, and stars. In addition to giving off light, they exist to divide the day from the night on earth, thus becoming a basic demarcation of time, as spring, summer, autumn, and winter provide 4 demarcations of seasons of time. Many of God's trusted prophets have repeatedly said 2024 is a very significant year where the earth will experience much shaking. April 8, 2024 is Nisan 1, or the first of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar, and it's the first day of the civil new year. And on this day, God has orchestrated there will be a total solar eclipse. Again, quoting Faith, who shared what she heard from the Lord, quote, "A divine shift is about to occur. I am about to eclipse the agenda of evil, the plans of man, the pride of man, and the wickedness of man. I am rising now to war. I am the King of Kings, and my kings are now rising with me in this day of battle. I have given time to repent, and time is up." End quote. As Julie Green, Dr. Patricia Green, and many others have prophesied, God has revealed the way he will eclipse the agenda of evil is by exposure of truth finally becoming known, revealing the dark secrets of the deep state proponents of a one-world government and bringing righteous judgments, including charges of treason and even death. All of this will lead to a great awakening, abundant blessings, and breakthroughs for the obedient. We can expect to see a courageous army mobilized and released over the next few months. And as I've said, I expect very powerful, even explosive events from Purim, which occurred March 23-24, through Pentecost Sunday, which is May 19th. Through various prophets, God has been forewarning us to know how to speak to the evil in our midst to overcome it. God has been instructing us to be prepared with the knowledge of His Word, both the written and the spoken Word, so that when He intervenes against evil on behalf of the righteous are not deceived into thinking it is the advancement of evil. Rather, it's the defeat of evil. I urge you to listen to the prophetic words of Julie Green the past couple of months. Each word builds upon the next. On March 29th, God moved upon Julie as she was doing her podcast to warn us about explosive events that will have a snowball effect because He is intensifying the shakings on the earth and in the heavens and in the waters. God refers to the evil leaders in our midst as the pharaohs of our day. In that prophecy, God explains what we can expect and then says, and I loosely quote, "But there is nothing to fear. I am telling you this to encourage you, to bring you strength and awareness about what the enemies are up to. However, I am destroying them all. I have been warning you of this time, the time of shakings, great falls, great evidence, evidence your enemies never thought would come to the spotlight. There are some that your enemies thought, listen very carefully, there are some your enemies thought they killed who are actually alive. I am protecting them so your enemies can't get to them. So be aware and be prepared, because the more evidence that comes out, the more truth that's being poured out worldwide, and the more fires your enemies are putting out, because all of their plans are being destroyed. The more desperate, the more chaos happening in the enemy's camp, the more anger and fear they encounter. They're becoming extremely fearful. So, my children, keep calling them down. Part of your marching orders is to say, declare, and decree your victory. Every day declare it. Declare your victory, your healing, your prosperity, your freedom. Declare it with authority in your words. These are the words I am giving you to speak, so I will make sure they come to pass. So receive it this day that I am in the way of your enemies." End quote. God has repeatedly forewarned us to be prepared, to walk by faith based on what God has said, both in His written word and in His spoken word. God has warned us of upcoming shakings, such as the world has never before seen. I believe this to include extraordinary events, such as earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, and other serious storms. I am expecting a time of darkness, which may or may not be the result of a solar eclipse. We've been forewarned when darkness comes and we are sequestered into our homes, not unlike the Israelites were on that first night of Passover, that we are not to fear, but to know God is at work in our behalf. We've been hearing for quite a while now about the prospect of having no power or internet and perhaps a period of no telephone communications. We know the proponents of a one-world government are still planning to do great harm to us in effort to control us. But God has said through His prophets that although they are still planning some horrific events in their effort to gain tyrannical control over the masses, their plans will not succeed. He has been very clear that He is in their way, and He has infiltrated the infiltrators. God has instructed His people not to give up, not to give in, not to be in fear, but to trust Him, that He will do everything He has said He will do, as we do everything He has instructed us to do. Again, obedience is always key. It is my belief that we have entered the time God has been telling us would come, when He intervenes in the affairs of humanity. I don't think we were waiting for it. Rather, the time has arrived. I believe the cargo ship that hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was no accident. And this should not surprise us, as we've learned about so very much the self-appointed elite who promote a one-world government has done. Why would the Federal Aviation Administration provide advanced warning about potential disruptions in air travel the day of the solar eclipse? There has never been any disruption in air travel during any other solar eclipse. Add to this what Johnny Inlow shared on Elijah Streams about Niagara Falls having issued an advanced state of emergency in anticipation of the great influx of people they expect to travel to see the estimated 4 minutes of darkness. And I become even more convinced of the intentional increased efforts of evil in these very days. Johnny Inlow also shared that the National Guard has been called to keep public safety in areas of Texas for the same reason. And NASA has planned to launch 3 rockets into the solar eclipse, commenting that he thinks NASA is the greatest perpetrator of fraud against the American people. And Johnny stated that the world's most powerful particle accelerator, known as CERN, is scheduled to restart on April 8, 2024, during the eclipse, to research for quote-unquote invisible matter, which is code for spiritual entities, they believe power our universe. Additionally, Clay Clark ran two of his podcasts providing disturbing information about both CERN and NASA. CERN is a large hadron collider that seeks to open a spiritual portal. And NASA, as you likely know, is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration of the United States, run by the deep state. This week's podcast of mine is already longer than normal, so I don't have time to provide highlights from Clay's. But I strongly recommend you take time to watch these two and learn of the very real and sinister aspects of both CERN and NASA. Use the link in the show notes to watch them. However, I ask you to watch these videos and all else you do prayerfully, to have the help of the Holy Spirit, to discern truth, and not to accept those predictions and claims that are false. CERN is an area of an evil portal, and in research for this week's podcast, I learned the area of Buffalo, New York, on up to Niagara Falls and into Canada, is also heavy with occult activity and sinister portals. As Johnny shared, I also believe there has been a ruling from heaven that this is the time for the kingdom to be turned over to the saints. As the enemy of God has strategically set up evil portals and taken control over various regions of the world, God has established this very time we are in between Purim, which again was March 24th, and Pentecost, which is May 19th. God has set this time aside as the time when his decrees to smash the enemy will be visible. Through Amanda Grace on April 1st, 2024, God gave a very lengthy and powerful word that reveals exposures and God's judgments that are coming to the leaders of many nations, including the leaders of the United States, the United Nations, and Geneva. He spoke of his chastisement of Congress and higher courts, including the Supreme Court, warning them to walk rightly or be removed from their seat. God warns church leadership, both pastors and rabbis, about being right before him. He gives warning to what the nations are attempting in the Red Sea. He speaks of Africa, Chile, Mexico, and Vietnam. He speaks of a flip that will come to the governor of New York, and in another recent word, God also spoke of the future he has for Gavin Newsom, governor of California. God also spoke of the corruption being judged in what he called the Department of Injustice. He warns of judgment coming to a media entity. He instructs his people to expect the unexpected and watch for the shaking after Passover in the area of Russia. He also spoke of a fault line that will be triggered in three points impacting the United States and Israel, and of derailments and more to occur during the eclipse. Overall, he speaks of the importance of his children properly humbling themselves before God, and then he will supply his wisdom, which we desperately need. He said this hour of passing over occurs only for those who are humble and obedient. As I said earlier, obedience is always key. You'll want to hear the whole message, so I provided a link in the show notes. Through Julie Green, God has clearly stated what he intends to do. Julie received this following prophecy on March 20th, 2024, and posted it on April 1st, 2024. Speaking for God, she said in part, and I loosely quote, "I said I will make signs in the heavenlies. This eclipse, pay attention, my children. The location of this eclipse is no coincidence. I am warning. I am telling you, my children, that I am about to do something so unprecedented and so unusual and so unconventional, it will be like the enemies didn't exist. I am wiping them out. I'm wiping them out of everything they're in. I'm destroying them. I'm bringing them down to the ground, annihilating them with judgment. They will have no idea when I am bringing and pouring down these judgments. They will have no idea which way to run, which way to turn. Confusion will grow, and so will fear. My children, I have told you, watch the east coast of your nation. Many things are about to take place in the sky, but many things are about to take place in the weather. Watch the east coast of the United States of America for another sign." End quote. Now, this is just part of the prophetic word, so please use the link in the show notes to listen to the word in its entirety. If God did not have a track record that goes all the way back to the beginning of creation, of ever and only and always working for the good of humankind, whom he made in his own image to have a relationship with us as his children, then I could see why Christians might doubt or be fearful and anxious in these evil days. But we have every reason to trust God to deliver and redeem us from all the works of the enemy. This is not the time for the saints of the world to be passive observers. This is the time God is sternly calling his children to partner with him to see his kingdom will done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the time for us to join with God in calling down the evil strongholds, using our voices and decreeing and declaring God's plans against evil. We have the historical truth of the work, of the complete work of Jesus Christ to assure victory over the devil and all of his schemes. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to direct us on how to appropriate his power in and through us to take charge over the works of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." End quote. We have the authority and power of Christ within us to overcome all the works and schemes of the enemy. It's a matter of partnering with God to actually bring his kingdom will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you truly believe this, then you will not fear, and you will see great things that your faith produces for you and for those around you, all for the glory of God. If you or those you love have not yet come to an intentional relationship with Jesus, I pray you will allow the current world events, including the more spectacular events such as the solar eclipse and more, to cause you to reconsider Jesus. I'm not trying to sensationalize anything or goad people into making a confession of Christ. I am, as I always do, using sound logic and reason as an apologist, along with proper embrace of spiritual realities and prayer as a charismatic Christian, to help us all discover and live in life-giving truth and experience the hope truth provides. Jesus is who he claimed to be, and he clearly said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. As I've said, with God, there are no coincidences. Everything he does has purpose and meaning. The fact that you are alive today means God has a plan and a purpose for your life, which is entirely available to you if you choose to be aligned with God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit through the faith in Jesus Christ. If you need further help to place your faith in Jesus, seek a person in your life who has exemplified a solid Christian life. If you can't think of anyone like that in your life who can help you in your quest, then contact me. I'll gladly put you in touch with a person in your area who can help you embrace all the victory over all the evil, over all the pain and suffering, all the loneliness and despair you've known. My email address is faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. I won't be able to address events that will actually take place on April 8th and the surrounding days with next week's podcast because the eclipse will actually take place after I have posted the podcast to come out on April 10th. But I assure you, I will, as always, seek the Lord to know what he wants me to address so we as God's children can best discern events to know how he wants us to respond. If you've been blessed by my podcast, I ask you to listen to the following announcements and learn how you can show your appreciation by taking advantage of any of the affiliate goods and services I bring you. Before I close, I have even more information about the trip to Greece that I hope to make happen in 2025. We are looking at traveling in the month of October, and I'm interviewing 3 highly recommended Christian travel tour companies at this present time to get the best deal. What I'm looking at is a tour group of about 30 people, a good size to work with, and we already have about 10 people who've expressed interest. We'll be landing in Athens and then be escorted on a tour we can call the Steps of Paul. Each of us need to get our own air travel to Athens International Airport, arriving on what we will consider day one. Hotel accommodations, ground transportation, and some meals are included from day one through day 7, when we'll return to Athens so you can catch your return flight home. We want to plan one night where we can all dine together in a banquet room or some such thing, allowing us the opportunity to worship together and learn together. The cost for the tour is estimated to be about $3,000 per person. Again, that's just an early advance estimate. However, we won't know the actual cost until the details are agreed upon. I would like to have the details agreed upon by the end of February 2025, about 8 months ahead of time, so people can make definitive plans. So, if you think you'd like to be part of the Faith to Live By Christian Tour with me in Greece in 2025, just send me an email with the word Greece in the subject line and the number of people that you expect to be in your party in the body of the email. My email is faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. There is no commitment or obligation from you at this point. You're just expressing interest. And when it comes closer to time to get confirmations, around January or February, then we'll talk about the deposits, the final payments, the travel insurance, and more. Again, if you want me to put together a Christian tour for 2025 to Greece, send me an email to faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com with the words Greece Tour in the subject line and the number of people you would bring in the body of the email if the trip becomes a reality. In the meantime, if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email. If you like what you hear from me with this podcast, I highly recommend my book series, my award-winning blog, connecting with me on social media where I can cover many more topics than I can with this weekly podcast. Also, consider signing up for my certificate course in apologetics. My aim with that course is to help people learn how to not only use apologetics to share truth with others, but to help Christian leaders incorporate apologetics into their respective ministries so many more Christians know how to share their faith. Learn more from Solid Lives Training Center using the link in the show notes. You know, my whole goal with this podcast is to help people discover and live in life-giving truth and to experience all the hope truth provides. You can, and I hope you do, personally share truth with others. But have you thought about how many more people you could reach by partnering with me? Help me grow this podcast, get my books into more people's hands, and talk me up to others to get more speaking engagements and increase this podcast audience. Then together as partners, we will be making a much greater impact than we can on our own. There are several ways you can choose to partner with me. Certainly, telling others about me and my ministry along with prayers is among the top of the list. There's nothing more powerful than word-of-mouth endorsement or personal referrals. Buying my books and products is another way. All of my books in my Faith to Live By series were written to help people better understand the Christian faith and how to successfully live it out. Visit my website and get any or all of these books with a deep 20% discount by using the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, at checkout. I also welcome donations, but for now, they're not tax-deductible. However, I'm working on that for you, so listen in the weeks to come to learn more to be able to support me through donations that hopefully will be tax-deductible. Supporting the businesses I feature as affiliate partners is yet another way you can partner with me. I seek to find affiliates who can offer you goods and services you need, and I have some very exciting money-saving, America-first goods and services you won't want to miss out on. I have a new affiliate partner who has amazing products that can help you with a number of different ailments. It's called QE Strong. Using the frequency of quantum energy, their products have helped hundreds of people overcome issues of pain, anxiety, sleeplessness, and more. I have recently conducted an interview with Rob Rene, the founder, and I encourage you to listen to that in order to learn more. Use the promo code FTLB at checkout to get an additional 15% discount on top of the discounts they already provide. Also, if you're like me, you're tired of paying very high prices for cable television, and you've been waiting to find the right company who shares your values to replace your cable service. Well, I found it. It's called Q Streaming. That's C-U-E Streaming. They provide over 3,000 channels, including live TV with local stations from across the United States, United States networks, sports networks, movie networks, and pay-per-view events. You get all of that for about half what most cable companies charge, and there's no contract, just a monthly subscription. Visit faithtoliveby.myqstreaming.com. Look around and sign up to start viewing the programs you like at a fraction of what you're paying now, all while you are supporting a Christian-owned and operated company that exclusively uses word-of-mouth advertising so as not to spend money on commercial advertisement that supports the woke movement. And don't forget, when it comes to your health, I have two different affiliate partners, Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack Supplements and Cuppa Health. Cuppa Health is dedicated to helping us detoxify our bodies and get to an optimal and healthy weight. I personally love their Java Boost drink, and I think you will too. So check out all their products and be sure to use my promo code at checkout, FTLB, and they also will offer a 20% discount on all the products. Visit cupofhealth.com. Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack supplements contain zinc, quercetin, and vitamin C and D, which are formulated in just the right amounts to help you boost your immune system. Your immune system can be weakened by over 300 different primary immunodeficiency disorders, poor diet, lack of sleep, and adverse reactions to vaccines. I'm personally taking the supplement, and I can tell you I've been around many people who have had COVID and other ailments, and I have not been sick. Use the link in the show notes or go to his website and use the promo code FTLB to receive a 5% coupon discount. And if you choose to become a subscriber, you can receive a 10% discount each and every month. And regarding your finances, I want you to know about Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's a personal wealth advisor. I recently conducted another interview with Kirk that I especially want you to hear in light of the present-day banking system and economic uncertainty. Dr. Elliott offers free consultations to learn more about your personal considerations and to decide what might be a good strategy for you and your financial goals. Call Kirk at 1-720-605-3900 or contact him and his team using the link in the show notes. Again, his and all my affiliate partners' contact details are in the show notes. Of course, you need to do your own due diligence to make your own decisions what to purchase, but to help you, I am researching companies, interviewing their representatives, and using their products or services myself to provide you with any personal recommendation I can. When you purchase my books, products, or services, or products and services from any of my affiliates, you get something you want, and at the same time, you support me. It's truly a benefit for us all. So shop for yourself, or shop to get gifts for friends and family. Your support is greatly appreciated. Again, if this ministry has blessed you in any way, please consider partnering with me and my vision to bring truth to as many people as possible. Consider getting my award-winning books available from my website. The series is also called Faith to Live By, and when you purchase through my web store, be sure to use the promo code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to get a 20% discount on your entire order. I'd also appreciate you letting me know how this podcast impacts you and what you're doing now in response to the quipping you've received through me. My email is faithtoliveby@pamelachristianministries.com. If you like the content and the resource material I bring with this podcast, you'll find much more by connecting with me through my blog. In fact, my blog has been awarded 2 unsolicited awards for Christian content. And I'm also very active on social media. I can cover many more topics there than I can with this weekly podcast. You can also subscribe to my complimentary bi-monthly e-newsletter. As a new subscriber, you can choose 1 of 3 gifts I offer in appreciation for your subscription. Subscribing will make you a preferred member where you'll receive special announcements and offers not available to others. And by subscribing, should anything happen to my podcast and the internet is really volatile right now, I'll have a way to contact you so we can stay in touch. To receive even more, please be sure to check out my dedicated podcast listeners page called Beyond the Podcast. Here's where we can connect exclusively and you can download complimentary devotionals, resources, and more. Depending upon where you listen to my podcast, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever these features are available. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread the gospel, and it helps people learn how to better apply their Christian faith. I hope you'll join me next week and tell your friends and family to listen right here on Faith to Live By, where we learn how to gain spiritual victory over life's issues. Until next week, I'm Pam Christian, asking you to remember, Christ died for us. The least we can do is live for Him.